Welcome, everybody, to the Everything Unscripted podcast. This is the Hard Hit Show by two co-hosts and friends, our Doug and Pina. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Good. Very good.
Before we get started, you want to do the plugs, Doug?
Sure. Since we don't know how long I'm going to last on the show before technical difficulties take over. So, all right, listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. Usually around 10 o'clock Eastern time. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, etc. Listen to us this Friday night and every Friday night around 8 o'clock Eastern time. We might start going earlier because we don't like competing with SmackDown because it's actually getting good. For the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, Eric, what is winning the poll or what won the poll? What the fuck are we doing on Friday?
I'll get back. I'll reveal it at the end of the show.
You're supposed to have that information already.
I forgot.
Oh, all right. Anyway, so the four poll options were Shane Douglas, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Seth Rollins, and Baron Corbin. Apparently, we will find out at the end of the show what the hell we're doing. Listen to us this Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern time. It will not be the top tier podcast. Instead, we will be doing the top 10 greatest cartoon countdown, or we will be counting down the top 10 greatest cartoons of all time. Now, we're adding a little bit of a twist. Kenneth, I don't know if he told you about this yet. I kind of doubt he did.
It's about trying to get to 15, the top 10.
All right, so maybe
I don't.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We've added a little twist to Sunday's show. If you can guess, we've narrowed it down to a top 30. Eric and I have put polls up in several different groups. If you can guess the top 10 correctly, or at least come close enough than anybody else, you will win a $25 gift card to wherever you want. Especially, you know, the people that participated, that gave us lists to begin with, that gave us their top fives. I mean, everybody is eligible. If you want to do so, you know, you can message either Eric or I on Facebook. We've posted it in different places. I've texted people. You could tweet either Eric or myself. You could tweet Eric at you could tweet the show at E Unscripted Pod, I think, right?
Yep.
You could tweet me at Douglas Summer Jr. You just find us, get them in by Sunday or before Sunday at 5 o'clock, and then listen to us on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted to find out if you were right and to find out what the top 10 cartoons are. Now, I'm going to find out. I'm going to do the majority of the calculations tonight to see exactly what the top 10 is. I'm not telling Eric right away because, you know, if he gets submissions from people, I don't need him to, you know, tell everybody right away.
Yeah.
So watch out for that. That'll be on Sunday. Of course, obviously, listen to us on either Tuesday or Wednesday. It depends on Clint's work schedule because Clint is the star of this show for the Hard Hits podcast. Usually around 6 p.m. Eastern time. I'm not sure yet. We might do a Jeopardy match next week. I'm not sure yet. All right, Eric, go ahead. let's get this thing rolling here.
Okay. Clarence, you want to start with the whole Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Okay, well, we saw that just a couple of things. Christian McCaffrey, Carolina is not will not be playing this week, but it might make its return this the following week 8 matchup on Thursday night against Atlanta. And the big news coming from the day came from Miami, knowing that Ryan Fitzpatrick's been benched from to us, named starting quarterback in the NFL, and which in my eyes do not make no sense whatsoever. The Dolphins are in the mix of a great AFC East playoff chase, and which is led by the Bills not surprisingly. But I want to ask you guys, what did Tua prove or do that allowed him to get this starting job? Because I'm still trying to figure that out.
Okay, didn't the Dolphins or didn't Fitzpatrick have trouble converting on third down this past week?
I'm not sure. I didn't watch the game. What I did see his stat line. I did see he had 3 touchdowns with 2 picks.
Okay.
A costly interception going into the end zone, but you're playing the Jets, of course. You shut them out 24-0. So that's just a average.
Okay. So
Tua came in. Yeah.
All right. So they couldn't. Neither team could convert on third down. So maybe they just want to see what they get. Who are they playing this week?
Well, they got a bye, and then they have a bye, and then they go week 8 to L.A. So they're playing around.
Yeah, they're playing Rams at home. Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't think the Rams are the team you debut this guy against.
I agree with that.
Fitzpatrick is on a roll. He beat the hell out of the 49ers. They took out the Jets. You got to keep rolling with Fitzpatrick until the wheels fall off. The wheels haven't fallen off yet.
Yeah.
True.
And
I'm not
three.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I look at this team and I'm like, because I saw like the last two drives. I went and saw like the last two drives, and he was perfect, like two for one for this 9 yards and ending a game with that. And I mean, he couldn't really do anything that proves to me and said this guy is going to be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. There is talks about how it might be pressure on the Dolphins organization, knowing that to start these young quarterbacks like Herbert, because he was a fifth round draft, he was a fifth pick in the first round. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but is he ready? Is the hip ready?
I don't think he's ready. I mean, he's just not ready. I mean, it would be different if we had a preseason. But the problem with that is we didn't have a preseason this year. So you're throwing guys in here ice cold, don't know, still wet behind the ears, don't know nothing about nothing, and you're just going to throw them into a live game. I mean,
exactly.
It's a big hit and miss right now.
Yeah. Here's my thought. Maybe this is the plan from the beginning. Maybe they wanted to start to play into the bye week and then start him after the bye week. Maybe this was their plan.
Yeah, but what if it backfires?
Let me ask you this.
Or go ahead, Clintus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
You make your point, and
so
I'll make
So let me
money.
Ask you this. Yeah, okay. But you say maybe it's their plan. So you mean to tell me, say the Dolphins were just like 4-2 or 5-1, were you still going to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick start Tua, even after this amazing start. They're just 500, but everybody's like 1-0.
So yeah, and right now, if you think about it, the Bills, the wheels are starting to fall off.
Okay. I don't think it's the wheels starting to fall off. I just think it's a bad case of, I think, scheduling and disadvantage to one. Happened last week with the Tennessee. They took the Titans for granted and they got punched in their face. This week, I don't know. They didn't show up. They didn't want to play. So I don't know. There was no excuse. I'll give you a slide last week with the Bills. Because they took the Titans for granted and they wound up getting punched in the mouth. This week, they just look like, wow.
I didn't see
any game. I don't think they can play. I don't think the Bills are built for national television.
Yeah. Did you ask our friend, the Dolphins fan, Cody, if he had any thoughts, or do you not see him today?
He didn't work today, but I talked to him yesterday.
Okay. I think that briefly saw him.
And he basically, I told him, I said, you know the Dolphins are winning the division, right? And he looked at me and said, he looked at me and told me I was hot. But no, I personally think, and I love my team, I think the Dolphins are going to swoop in and win this fucking division.
Yeah, because the Patriots look like they don't belong either. They surely didn't show up against Denver. They got punched in the face themselves.
All right, guys, give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's go on. Well, let's talk about this AFC East then. Right now, you're going to have Buffalo sits alone at 4-2, followed by Miami, which is about a game behind. This is at 3-3. New England is 2-3, and the Jets are just the Jets. They're winless throughout the season.
Yeah, I know, right?
So if you look at it like this, New England, this is like the last time New England was started out 2-3. They wound up winning the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to count New England out just yet. I'm not going to start counting out New England until I see that Bills Patriots game. That's going to tell me what it is.
I think there's
two matchups that I'm worried about though. New England already beat Miami. The question is, can they do it again? For some strange reason, when it comes to the rubber match between the second go around, Miami seems to always just upset New England and cost them either division title or force them into a road playoff game.
And the second game's in Miami too, and they always beat New England in Miami.
Well, yeah, New England has trouble playing in Miami.
Yeah.
Last year it was opposite around. They beat in Miami, and Miami got and took them out in New England. Game of the season. It cost them their bye week.
Wow. What game do you want to start up with, guys? Let's start out with Atlanta, Minnesota. I didn't see the game, but I kept track of it. I think I did pick Atlanta last week, didn't I? I forget.
Yeah. But if you want to go with my Atlanta, I want to tell you this. Watching this team, if I did see highlights of the game and whatnot, and I want to say what I saw and heard and I want to say the coaching, it's a completely different team. I mean, this team got up to a 20-0 lead, and you figure that, okay, fine. Second half goes around. They're going to, like, let up, and you're going to see Kirk Cousins look like the next Joe Montana and just light them up for however. And they're going to blow it again, which is totally didn't happen. I think this team believes in itself now. He finally got the cancer out of the locker room, which is that head coach Dan Quinn.
Yep.
That defense stepped up. And I was really impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed and I was shocked at the same time. I thought Minnesota was gonna do better. They really missed Dalvin Cook. They depend on that running game very much. And it showed. I mean, Kirk Cousins can't be throwing for Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's going to have his bad game. He's going to have his good game. He's going to have over 300 yards sometimes. But when you don't have a running game going with a passing game, you're going to be in trouble.
There's one problem I have with what everybody says about Kirk Cousins that really gets on my nerves, especially when it happened in Washington. How he's like the best quarterback out there.
I'm back, but guys.
Good. We're just talking about the Atlanta game. But I want to say this about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is this, I'll say, a C-plus average quarterback. He has his good games. He's not he shows up when he wants to show up. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
When the pressure is really on for him, he'll fold.
You know, it's very funny that you say that. I mean, I 100% agree with you, and I like Kirk Cousins. Right? I liked him when he was with Washington. The problem is, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is the same way. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but it's inconsistency.
Oh.
Yep.
Some days he's on. Some days he's off. I mean, another quarterback you could put in that class is Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. And I can say Nick Foles, too, maybe, too.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just – and it's unfortunate. These guys are talented. They are very, very talented. You know they can throw the ball deep. They are great when they want to be.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, and Kirk Cousins has the weapons.
Yeah. And
it's just not clicking.
Yeah, it clicks some games, clicks other games. I mean, I think them missing Dalvin Cook was a big, big loss because I think they rely on the running game to set up the passing. And when you have to throw first before running, I don't think that worked for Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'm not gonna say they had to throw a run first because yes, you're missing Dalvin Cook, but the problem is I think with Minnesota is that they believe they give up on whoever they don't have that whole next man up mentality type thing. Like if you look at some teams. One player goes down, they can still use their next player, running back by committee.
Yep.
They'll keep the game plan at the table. Here with Minnesota, they're doing this like, okay, fine. Dalvin Cook's out. So guess what we're going to do? Instead of going 50-50 run, we're going to go 75 pass, 25 run. Why?
Yeah, exactly. And I said it last week. I think it's time for Zimmer to go. Sorry, Doug.
That wasn't me talking.
Oh,
yeah. I'll say Mike never needs to go, but it's just that you need to have a consistent game plan, and which they do not have.
No, they don't.
You watch,
right.
What game do you want to?
I mean, here's the thing. I'll just say this last thing. I like both Atlanta and Minnesota, but obviously neither one of them are headed towards the postseason.
No. That's unfortunate.
Now, one game, have you guys talked about Chicago and Carolina yet?
No, it's Atlanta. We just open up, but it's Atlanta.
Okay.
We can talk about it.
I want to talk about the Bears real quick, and the fact that they're 5-1 and people still don't believe in them.
I can answer that question for you, and I want to tell you why people do not believe. And this is a point I brought up like 2 weeks ago. Why they don't believe in the Bears?
Okay.
It's because of Nick Foles. Nick Foles, I said if the Bears was going to be successful and have like start Nick Foles out, Nick Foles is not going to get, it's not a quarterback that's going to give you a whole complete year. Let's put it that way. His most successful seasons came in when he only had to play 6 or 7 games till the end of the seasons into the postseason.
Okay, but Clint, right now they're winning.
Right now they are winning. Keywords, yeah. Right now they are winning. Seasons, Bill, it's only week 7, man. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want to see Nick Foles go. I want to see the Nick Foles lead go to the playoffs with the Bears. I'm telling you, I'm really hoping it.
Right, and I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. But right now, here's the thing. They're 5-1. Who do they play this week, or are they on a bye?
They go to L.A. and played Rams on Monday night.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a big test.
Right. Yeah, but then again, also, Brady was a big test for him. And even though both offenses sucked, the Bears still won.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bears can win the big games.
Yeah.
And right now they're 5-1. And their offense might not be that good, but guess what? They're winning.
And it's not because of an offense. It's because the Bears have a strong defense. What the Bears needed was a quarterback that could say, you know what? The defense says, we can win you the game. Just don't go mess nothing up. That's what they was doing with Mr. Trubisky. Mr. Trubisky was somebody who would just go in there and mess up the game. Nick Foles is not like that. But also, Nick Foles is not a quarterback that hasn't had like a good, successful full season of work. Like when he was named Bears starter, if you go back to his very first year in Philadelphia under Chip Kelly, he led the Eagles after Michael Vick went down. Led the Eagles to a NFC East title, lost the wild card to New Orleans. Then you had a big falling out with Chip Kelly. He gets shipped to St. Louis and then dies off the face of the earth. Contemplate retiring, joins back up with Andy Reid in Kansas City, and come back to Philadelphia and rejuvenates his career. Basically, again, after an injury to Carson Wentz. And then opening that season, you saw how Nick Foles started really falling apart in that 2018 season. The preseason, he was off. And then the opening game, it was a dogfight. And then he looked awful against Tampa Bay. I think Rush Carson Wentz back to play against the Colts.
Yep.
But then Carson goes back down and he comes and we look like a superhero again after being on the bench for like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
He's not consistent, and that's the one thing I'm gonna say it's out there. He's just not consistent. He's gonna give you those great games, and I'm really hoping. But I'm thinking that what people are looking at when they say, well, what's going to happen with the Bears is not because that they need someone to say they got a great defense. They just want someone that's not going to choke the game away. And that's what they was wrong with Mr. DeVincy. He choked every one of those Bears games away.
Right. And here's the thing, though. We are in such a crazy season this NFL season. We're in such a crazy time right now that, you know, even though everybody's going to say, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, Baltimore is going to be in the Super Bowl, or Kansas City is going to be in the Super Bowl, or, you know, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl, or Tom Brady and the Bucks are going to go in the Super Bowl. No, you're going to get two teams in the Super Bowl that don't necessarily belong there, but they're going to get there for two reasons. One is they're going to get there because they're going to be the two teams that actually followed COVID protocol the best. And they're also going to be there because it's such a weird season that anything can happen. And right now the Bears are proof. Anything can happen.
Exactly.
Miami is proof. Anything can happen. I would not be surprised, and I will laugh my ass off, if the Bears and the Dolphins are this year's Super Bowl.
No, if you would tell me that if with Tua starting, I would say yes, Mike. I want to doubt foot all in. I don't think Tua is going to be like one of those quarterbacks going to look great. I mean, I think they could feel pressure in starting on because they've seen everything what happened with Justin Herbert and everything like that. Did he feel like he had to start him? When they don't really have to. Fitzpatrick had to choke no games away. You're playing the Jets. He had an average game. So you do turnover the ball, but the Jets are the Jets. They are who they thought they are. They're just Jets. They got rid of Le'Veon Bell. And now they just need to get rid of the head coach. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me pull out this comparison, though, Clint. Remember, back in 2012, the San Francisco 49ers were doing well with a guy by the name of Alex Smith. And they were, you know, Alex Smith was at the top of his game, and he was winning. He gets hurt with a concussion. They bring in this guy named Colin Kaepernick, you know, the White House's favorite quarterback. And this guy, he was a rookie in 2012, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. He impresses Jim Harbaugh enough to where Harbaugh's just like, you know what, let's just ride it until he fucks up. They got to the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't win, but they got there.
Yeah, it was a lights out game.
What if it's deja vu? And, I mean, what if Tua does so well for the Dolphins that he gets them to the Super Bowl?
Okay, I won't put it this way. Keywords of your argument says Alex Smith got what? Hurt. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not hurt. It's a difference.
Right.
He's not hurt. He's not injured. He's nothing. He's healthy as can be. Fitzpatrick is healthy as can be. Nothing's alien, you know. He just had an okay game against the Jets of all teams.
Right.
He had an okay game against the Jets. You mean to tell me, and I'm not dissing, right, saying that Tua doesn't need to start each other.
I got company. Here, keep talking.
Okay. I have a theory about.
Tua's going to go in there. He's going to like stink up the place. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. So be it. I'm not saying that. I didn't watch none of his college. I'm just saying that the key words to his argument is that Colin Kaepernick was injured. Players who get hurt lose their job when their backup looks like stars.
Right.
It happened
I'm
to
bad,
Michael
guys.
Vick when Mike, it happened to Michael Vick when Nick Foles did it to Michael Vick when Michael Vick got hurt. Kaepernick did it to Alex Smith. Alex Smith wound up going to Kansas City. And now you got the Dolphins, who with a healthy quarterback just wound up all out of the blue, was going to say we're 500 going into our bye week. Let's start a rookie for no apparent reason. No reason whatsoever. You're going to start a rookie. No reason.
I have a theory.
Right?
About that. Maybe he's on a trade block. Right this second.
Then you don't mention somebody's on a trade block. You don't mention. If you're going to put someone on a trade block, you plan on trading, you want that person to start because it's going to give you more assets to go. You want them to succeed as much as possible. Win you the games, boost a trade block even more if you plan on trading them away, which I doubt that was going to happen.
Yeah. It's a weird move. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, it's either going to be a really good move or a really bad move.
Yep, exactly. What else? How about Indy and Cincinnati? How about that comeback by Indy? They were down. They were down 21-0 at one point. And the Colts come storming back and win 31-27.
Philip Rivers, like I said earlier, he is a really good quarterback. Okay?
Yep.
The problem is that he can be inconsistent. That
exactly.
is an issue. But
oh, I agree.
He can still win.
And Burrow didn't have his best game. He had no touchdowns, one interception. I don't even know how Cincinnati just got off that lead. I guess they got the running game was pretty good. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I want to say this way. I just think Cincinnati is just a young team that's still trying to find themselves. And to me, it's kind of hard to like picture, and I'm trying to figure out why. How these teams build these giant leads and then wind up under like 15 minutes just choke the game away. I mean, you jump off the 21-0 lead. It's 24-21 at halftime. They go down to a 3-point lead. And then 10 unanswered points by the Colts leads to a 31-27 victory for them.
Tries in the actually they come back.
I mean, and Joe Burrow, it's another rookie quarterback. I think, yes, he looks good. He's with the weapons. It's going to be a good team, and it's going to give him about 3 years. And I'm telling you, the AFC North is going to look completely different than what it is now. You think it's mainly just run by the Steelers and Ravens. But until we get rid of Baker Mayfield, the Browns just need a quarterback, a reliable quarterback. So they have all the talent in the world.
Yeah.
They need a reliable quarterback that the Browns are missing. And that could be a three-team race right there.
and then the Bengals learn how to play and build team chemistry. And I'm telling you, this division is going to be like one of the best divisions out there in a couple of years if that happens.
I agree with that. Let's talk about that game. The Pittsburgh game. I was surprised that Pittsburgh blew them out the way they did. I mean, Cleveland didn't show up. You have a big game against a your biggest rival, and you just lay an egg. Pittsburgh just did whatever they wanted to them. I mean, they ran the ball. Big Ben didn't have to do much. They just kept running the ball and getting points, and their defense dominated the game. I'm surprised how much they did dominate the game. I know Pittsburgh's defense is good, but wow. I didn't expect a blowout, that's for sure.
Well, I looked at this game more like a defensive battle than a blowout. I'm telling you the truth, because the Browns' defense is really good. And I think the Browns, and I'm telling you, with making the Browns missing is that quarterback that they can say they have a defense that all they need is a quarterback and say, look, we can win you this game. Just don't try to force or do any extra stupid stuff. And that's what Baker Mayfield does sometimes.
Did Baker get benched for Case Keenum? Or was
he
just in because of the blowout?
No, he got benched. Well, they said because his ribs are really bothering him and whatnot, to the point that already the game was out of reach, that they just trenched on, put in Case Keenum.
Oh, wow.
He was always,
I didn't even know Case Keenum was
going
to leave.
He was listed questionable throughout the whole week with the ribs injury he suffered in Dallas.
They play the Bengals next. No, yeah. The rematch with the Bengals. Yeah, do you have any thoughts on that, Pittsburgh game?
Just that, I mean, that was one of the games that was supposed to be like this big, like, you know, it was supposed to be a titanic struggle, and Pittsburgh beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Browns got exposed a little bit.
Yeah, but you had to think that was going to happen.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh showed that they are one of the top five teams in football, you know.
Exactly.
We'll briefly say, I mean, the Lions beat up the Jags. No surprise there. The Giants-Washington game was actually pretty entertaining. Giants beat them 2019.
Washington fucked up at the end.
Okay, let me ask you this. What was the point of going for 2 points? I mean, I understand that, yes,
they probably didn't
you
want to
win the game.
They didn't
want
to go to overtime. Which
so
was
you called
went for two?
In overtime.
Wow. I mean, you go for two and you make it, you're a hero. You don't.
You're dumb. You're also your just go for overtime. I mean, what's the big deal? You're going to. There's nothing wrong with playing an extra 10 minutes. It's not like it's 15 minutes. 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And the way those teams could have played, I'm telling you, whoever had the ball first was going to score a touchdown.
It would have been funny if they went to overtime and tied. We would have three teams in their division that have ties. Man. That would have been funny. We talked about this earlier in the Denver New England game. That was the most surprised game for me. I don't know what happened. This is all field goals, I think. Or did New England score a touchdown?
New England scored two touchdowns, right?
Yeah, they missed two. They scored He scored a defensive touchdown?
He scored two touchdowns, but didn't get a – I think they went for two once and missed, and then they missed an extra point, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, and Denver got all field goals.
Denver?
So, yeah.
All right, so, Clintus, do you remember – you made fun of me, right, for saying that it's going to be Denver and Minnesota in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's pretty safe to say now that I'm wrong, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we do on this show. We admit when we confess on this show. Next week, Eric will confess that he's a woman trapped in a man's body. but the thing is, yeah, no, Denver is just, Denver doesn't know what the hell they're doing right now.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you why. So, it's because of John Elway. I'm telling you that right now.
Do you think that he is the downfall of this team?
Oh, I believe so.
Yes.
Okay. It's no doubt.
Yes.
I believe so. It's
great
no,
quarterback.
I mean, great quarterback has no idea what he's doing, especially when it comes to finding a quarterback.
It's the same thing with Michael Jordan and the Charlotte Hornets. Same comparison. Great players, bad executives. For some reason, they just don't put that brain to being an executive. Maybe it's cockiness or whatever, but they're just not good executives.
Well, isn't somebody that's like a high executive over in Washington, wasn't he like a player or something? Or Doug Williams?
I think so. At one point, yeah.
I was just going to say, is he still there or is he gone?
He might be gone now.
All right, but he was a high executive there. He had no idea what the hell he was doing.
Yeah. For some reason, great players don't make the great executives.
Matter of fact, I believe he was the one that wanted Haskins.
Oh, yeah, wow. Because he's hometown boy.
So it's just... Again, and I agree with Clint's point. Players should not be, even when they retire, if you are a former player, you probably should not have an executive. You can be a coach, all right?
Yeah.
Being a coach, you're fine. But you cannot have an executive role.
Nope.
It's like giving former wrestlers the head of creative and being like, all right, yeah, you know, even though like in wrestling, like it works because the guys know the business.
Yeah.
But with John, he was a quarterback. I mean, you're going, yes, you're a star quarterback. Quarterback, you know offense. When you're an executive, you're just not worried about your offense. You're worried about your defense, your special teams, everything, coaches, everything. It's a difference between just having one small foot and then controlling a whole different team.
Yeah. Their offense has been awful for years. It's always been their defense that's been a strong suit.
Well, no, and I'm not saying, and it all started coming apart once Peyton Manning retired. I mean,
ironically,
and Peyton Manning, yeah. I mean, Peyton Manning went on his high horse. He got LA his first Super Bowl. He was the owner, and rode off into the sunset. But
yep.
At the same time, it's like, and after that, you have like 50 different seven different quarterbacks that go along throughout the way.
And, well, here's the
exactly.
thing about LA, too. Remember, Elway won two Super Bowls for the Broncos, but it took him like 10 tries.
Yeah.
I saw like five.
Well, not,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I was over exaggerating.
Yeah.
Just follow me.
Yeah, no.
It took him a lot of tries. And a lot of those games, he got his ass kicked.
Yep.
I was going to say, how many times did he fail? Because Denver's been to the Super Bowl 8 times, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
All right, Elway won 2, Peyton won 1. They lost 5. I know Peyton lost one of them. So,
he lost 4, right? Yeah, he lost 4.
All right. I know of when they got blown out 42-10 against Washington.
Again.
And then didn't San Francisco beat the shit out of them?
Yeah.
Like a 55-10 or something like that?
Yep. Did the Giants beat them too?
That was a 39-20, I believe.
All right.
And then what
so
the hell was the
fourth
one?
It wasn't Dallas. Was it San Francisco?
Well, Dallas beat them in the 70s, right?
Let me see.
Oh, see.
I believe Denver, they went to franchise. They won 97, 98, 2015. They won 1977, 86, 87, 81.
Right.
Where's the champ? Where's the? Who did they lose to? Lost to the Giants. Lost to Washington. Lost to Seattle. I think it was the Bears.
No, that was the Patriots. All right, hold on.
Oh, Giant. 87, hold on.
All right, 89. Clintus, you didn't find it yet either?
No, I didn't find it.
All right, hold on.
It was the Cowboys in 77. 86 was the Giants. 87 was Washington.
Now,
89 was San Francisco.
77, Elway wasn't playing yet, right?
Yeah, he's only lost 3. It wasn't 4.
Okay.
86, 87, 89.
All right. But still, I mean, it took him 5 tries to get a Super Bowl, or 4 tries, I'm sorry, to get a Super Bowl ring, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's just not, you know, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Elway can be a good coach in the NFL if the Broncos ever, like, decided to say, well, it's time for you to move on and he wanted to go in coaching?
Right.
You think he'll make a good coach in the NFL?
Who, Elway?
Yeah.
I think he could be a good coach.
Maybe offensive coordinator.
I mean, nowadays they'll hire almost anybody. I mean, look at the Giants. Joe Judge. Special team court. Nobody really don't even know who Joe Judge was until Giants been hired on as their coach.
I know, right? He was a special teams coach?
Yeah, a special teams coach.
Just like Harbaugh was when Ravens hired him.
Yeah, let's ask.
How do you feel about these special team coordinators, like, just get on and be promoted to head coaches?
I mean, special teams is a big part of the game.
Okay. But I look at special teams as like you're dealing with four aspects of the game. Your kick, the punting, your punt, kick return, kickoffs, field goals, punting. That's mainly that's all you're working with throughout the whole team. You take from going that small aspect of the game, this in charge of that like full, small group to a whole team where you're calling plays along with. Really no experience of what you're doing unless you have someone that's going to come in or you know people's going to come in with you to show you the ropes. Because basically that's exactly what some of these coaches, these special team coordinators are. I mean, they're actually bringing in probably people who've shown them the ropes behind the scenes.
Yeah, until they get their feet wet and do good and win the Super Bowl like Harbaugh did.
Well, Harbaugh, it just lucked out. Joe Judge is going to get on fire. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, when they made that hire, I was like, why didn't they hire him?
I'm not saying he was a bad coach. I mean, look, L.O. was just like, wow. I think it's because he was with Bill Belichick that, you know.
Get the benefit of the doubt.
I guess so. Anybody will hire Bill Belichick. People.
Exactly. You have any thoughts on that, Doug?
What's that?
Team hiring special teams coach.
I mean, if it works out, then it works out. But the problem is with the Giants, it really hasn't worked out yet.
Okay. How about we get to our next game? I think, the Houston and Tennessee.
You want to start
How good are the Tennessee Titans right now?
Huh?
How good are the Tennessee Titans right now?
They're playing like they were playing like last year. Late last year.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me ask you this, and I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's also just me just trying to get the show moving. Tennessee and Pittsburgh, the battle of the unbeatens this week, the game that we were supposed to see in week four.
It's finally happening in week seven.
Do you think that this could possibly be the AFC Championship game?
I think it could.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my nephew's playing on my phone. I'm like,
I think it could.
Clint, do you think Pittsburgh and Tennessee could be the AFC Championship game?
I think so. I mean, we might be getting a preview of it this coming week. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not. They didn't flex that in. I mean, they can't flex it in yet, right?
That's what they can. Week five is when you're allowed to flex, like, Tuesday, Sunday night.
Well, it's gonna be on TV here.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah, it's gonna be on TV here. I'm probably gonna be making Halloween candy at that time, and hopefully my helper will let me have the game on. If not, then
I'll miss the first half. I'll miss the first half of the game. So I'll be home at 2.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully the person helping me make candy this weekend or on Sunday will let me watch football. I mean, I'm going to make sure to do the work anyway.
Okay. So, But with Tennessee, the whole Tennessee game, how I get into is that Tennessee is like a complete, I think, a complete team. And I think it all relies on how successful it is with Derrick Henry. And if you want to talk about the Steelers game, I think if you hope the games that Tennessee lost last year, it's the games that they held Derrick Henry to under 100 yards rushing. If you force a game to go through Ryan Tannehill, you have a great chance of beating the Tennessee Titans.
All right, can we kind of flash back? Can we flash back to week one here real quick? And what Pittsburgh did to Saquon Barkley?
They held him under 10 yards.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Derrick Henry, I'm pretty sure – I would love to see Derrick Henry try to smash, you know, some of the Pittsburgh defense like he did Josh Norman. I would love to try to see – I would love to see that. Derrick Henry is a monster.
Great
and this Pittsburgh-Tennessee game is going to be – again, we said that, you know, Pittsburgh-Cleveland last week was going to be the game of the week, and it wasn't. Pittsburgh is not going to bully Tennessee like they did Cleveland.
No, I don't think so.
Tennessee is going to bully nobody, even to, Pittsburgh. So it's going to be a great matchup. I think Pittsburgh, their defenses are both spectacular defenses.
All right, what do you think, Chris? Low scoring?
I think it's this. The sad part is Pittsburgh has not allowed over 100-yard rusher yet this season. We seen what Derrick Henry just did to Houston, took the game in overtime, and then carried the Titans over 200 yards rushing over the Texans already. And then ran over the Buffalo Bills like there's nothing.
Right.
But, and Pittsburgh is holding rushers over under 100 yards. Instead, you just get that one break. It's averaging, what, one big run a game. What's Pittsburgh's average?
Yep. Right.
It's one big breakout running game.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's the thing. You look at, you know, like even looking at it now, even though Tennessee last year got to the AFC Championship game, I still think this year people were just looking at them like, all right, they're not going to do anything until the end of the season. But here they are. They're what? Yes.
5-0.
What are they? 5-0?
5-0. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
5-0, right? And they are – and, like, now where is it? Is this game in Tennessee?
Yes,
it is.
And you kind of look at it, and Pittsburgh, you know, they're on the high that they're on. They're 5-0, and they're thinking, they're like, okay, we have to be worried about Tennessee now? Really? Like, we have to worry, like, Tannehill's a threat? Tannehill's not a threat, but also Tannehill can run. Too. He's just not a deep threat.
Very true.
I'm telling you right now, this game, it's not going to be high scoring. I'm going to say right now, even though we're not doing picture, I think Tennessee is going to beat Pittsburgh 16-13.
Hey, I agree. I take that. I think it's going to be one mistake. Whoever team makes the first mistake loses the game.
And I really think we're getting a preview of the AFC Championship game.
That would be awesome. That's any more thoughts on that game, guys? It was a good game. I wish it was on TV.
I got to see it on Red Zone.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming on TV tonight, too, at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Dolphins beat. We already talked about that. They shut out Jets, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay. The game of the week that game of the week that was supposed to be a game of the week.
This game was
out to be
a
game
complete
week.
Disappointment. A complete disappointment in my eyes.
I mean, I feel like sometimes, like, remember last year when Green Bay played San Francisco in the middle of the season, and the game got flexed to Sunday night because they're like, "Oh, this is going to be a great game, and the Seahawks Eagles game is going to suck," right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And San Francisco won 37-8.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did.
It's like a flashback.
But here's a problem. This game wasn't flex. This game was already set. This is supposed to be Brady versus Rodgers. And I think this is more like a way of Brady finally facing these NFC quarterbacks that we got to see like once every 4 years. Now starting to be on these prime time setup, matching up against Aaron Rodgers, matching up against Drew Brees, Goff. I mean, you've seen all these quarterbacks that you wanted to see on Russell Wilson. I'm not even sure if they're playing Seattle this year, but these quarterbacks that you want.
They're probably gonna see Seattle in the playoffs. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but one thing is, I think Tampa Bay's defense is starting to show its colors. Because Green Bay jumped out to a 10-0 lead. What fell apart was that pick six. And then after that pick six, Green Bay just stopped playing.
Yeah, they fell apart after that. That was really disappointing. Forward to that game. I think everybody would.
Well, that game, I think, was one of the reasons why we only did a half hour on Sunday.
Oh.
That ended.
It was so close when we were doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, the Eagles game.
There we are.
We forgot about the Eagles game.
We can
briefly talk about that and then we'll move on.
I'll say that
We'll talk about the two Monday night games and then we'll talk about the Eagles and move on to our top five
predictions,
teams and stuff.
I was going to say, do we even need to talk about the one Monday night game? Because I tried to talk about that with my dad earlier, but he kept telling me he couldn't hear me, which I think was bullshit. I'm pretty sure that he could hear me. He just didn't want to hear me talk about it.
We'll talk about the Cowboys in Arizona.
Let's put it this way. We're going to put it this way. The Cowboys are done. It's completely. They're washed up. They're giving up on everybody. The Cowboys don't want to play no more. Which is it's really sad. They lose one player and the whole team is falling apart. You don't have a defense. You let up over nearly 40 points a game. Kyler Murray beat these guys completely in just 9 passes last night. 9 passes.
Can I read something real quick? I'm on the NFL Power Rankings deal, right? And it says here, a quick bullet point list of conventional wisdom upended by the events of Week 6. Upended basically means that these bullet points basically just became a bucket of bourgeois. So it says here, the Browns are for real. Aaron Rodgers is unstoppable. Derrick Henry is having an off year. The Bears are obvious pretenders. The Patriots will be fine with Cam. Phillip Rivers is washed, and the Jets are hopeless. Now, that last one I can still believe, but all this other stuff, yeah. I mean, these points were basically kind of proven to be fiction after week six.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, very. But here's just a few points that I don't want to just make about this Cowboys game, though, real fast, especially about this Cowboys defense. Kyler Murray was 9 for 24 last night for only 188 yards with two touchdowns. On the ground, the Cowboys gave up 164 to Kenyon Drake with two rushing touchdowns. 74 yards to Kyler Murray with a rushing touchdown. What the? And Chase Edmonds had at 23.
Yep.
This Cowboys defense is trash.
If Hopkins didn't even get a touchdown. He only had two catches for 73 yards.
But the fact is that you let a quarterback beat you with just completing nine passes. It reminds me of the Tim Tebow days when he won his game when he completed two passes throughout the whole game.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. I thought it was gonna be a close game. I thought that was gonna come out and win it for Zach, but they didn't. I guess he was truly the heart and soul of that team. Because we saw it last night.
I don't think he's the heart and soul of that team. But I wanna put it this way. Like, this Cowboys team is not what it is. I mean, you have Ezekiel Elliott is not the same. Ezekiel Elliott, the scary running back that everybody should be afraid of. 49 yards, held under 50 yards with two fumbles last night. Dalton,
yeah,
two picks.
And I feel bad for Dalton.
And you have star wide receivers. Andy Dalton, it is a good quarterback. I mean, he led the Bengals to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He hasn't won a playoff game, but he led the Bengals to the playoffs.
Yep, exactly.
And the weapons are all there. I mean, Amari Cooper, you still have CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Elliott. This team just don't connect well to their head coach, Mike McCarthy, to tell you the truth. He's not the right guy for this job. And that defense,
you think he's
going to
get fired?
Because they have, I will fire
not
him.
Not
after
the first year.
Huh?
He's not going to get fired after the first year.
Well, I want to say this, but to tell you the truth, the way this team is playing, Mike McCarthy, and the reports are coming out that these Dallas players are not really liking. It's a couple of Dallas players even said on themselves that they don't feel like the coaches are preparing them right for these games. Like, they lucked out.
I can believe that.
You should be talking about Dallas right now should be 1-5. They got lucky against Atlanta.
Against Atlanta.
It's the only reason why they're 2-4. The fluke win.
Before we get to our picks, we'll do our top five real quick, and then we'll move on. We'll do our picks.
Oh, we're going to go back to the Eagles game, though, remember?
Oh, yeah, the Eagles game. I forgot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He forgot on purpose.
Yeah, because he didn't want to talk about it. But I'm not going to go. I want to say this about the Eagles, though. The Eagles are a banged-up football team. And I want to say this right now, a banged-up football team who plays with heart. Because I gave the Eagles no hope of winning this game whatsoever. And the fact that they almost pulled it off and wrung it and forced overtime surprised me whatsoever.
Yeah. I got to give this team credit. They do play with heart, and Wentz has gotten better. I mean, Wentz hasn't played bad the last 2 weeks. He's kept them in games. Defense, for some reason, Baltimore and Pittsburgh let this team back in both games, and and nearly won both. We could be 3-2-1 instead of 1-4-1. Is it 3-2-1? Yeah, 3-2-1.
Let's put it this way. If you want to compare, like, the Eagles and the Cowboys, let's put it this way. The Cowboys are ranked, supposed to have, like, the fifth easiest schedule this year. The Eagles are supposed to have, like, the fifth hardest schedule, which is true.
Yeah.
First place schedule compared to a second place schedule. And then
exactly.
On paper, when we did our predictions, nobody saw Alshon Jeffrey not playing these games. Nobody saw DeSean Jackson not playing these games. Jason Weger not playing these games. You get your defensive backs. Yeah, Goddard going out. Now you have Zach Ertz is going to be missing 2-3 to 4 weeks of games. Or hashing out.
Sanders is out for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. Nobody saw this.
You have any quick thoughts on this game, Doug?
Not really. I mean, I feel bad for the Eagles. I really do.
It's unfortunate. Everybody in our division is banged up.
Right.
You look at that. Dallas lost Zach. We've lost a couple players. Giants lost Saquon. And Washington football team lost.
They didn't really lost nobody.
Who did they lose?
They don't
have anybody to lose.
They benched their quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. They benched their quarterback who hasn't even come back to the team. We'll do our top five real quick. Who wants to go first?
Oh, man. So, I will go off. I want to go my number five. I want to put is Baltimore. My number four is going to be Pittsburgh. My number three this week is going to be Arizona. My number two is going to be Kansas City, and our number one is going to be Tennessee.
Right, yeah, that's a pretty good list.
It's an awesome list.
It is.
All right, my number five is going to be Chicago. My number four is going to be, we'll say Kansas City. Number three, I'm going to say Arizona myself. Two is Pittsburgh. One is Tennessee.
That's a great list, too. My top five is Baltimore. They almost blew that lead, so I'll sit them number five. My number four is Arizona. They played well. They impressed me last night. My number three is still Kansas City. They went into Buffalo and got out a win. And then my number two is Tennessee. They find ways to win, and my number one is Pittsburgh. So we all have similar lists, just in different orders. So I think we all had the same five teams, didn't we?
No, I had Chicago.
All right. Top three MVPs, I'll start real quick. I'll go with Ryan Tannehill for having a great game. My number two is I'm gonna say Kenyon Drake, and my number one is Derrick Henry.
I want to go pick my list. I want to go James Conners, my number three. Number two is going to be Kenyon Drake. And then my number one is going to be Derrick Henry.
Okay. My number three is going to be Chase Claypool, the rookie wide receiver for Pittsburgh, by the way.
He is awesome.
Number two, I'm going to say Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, good.
Number
week.
Number one, I'm putting Derrick Henry.
So we all agree with Derrick Henry. I mean, he just dominated.
Until they take him down, there's no stopping him. A running back, he could be the NFL. I mean, I know they always look to give the MVP a quarterback the MVP award, but fuck the quarterback. Give this man the MVP.
I think he'll be like the fourth running back to done it. The last running back that won an MVP was Sean Alexander.
Oh, wow. That was like, 15 years ago, right? When he fit.
Yeah, that the Seahawks Super Bowl year, that year.
Wow. We'll start with the Giants in Philadelphia. I mean, I think this is actually going to be an entertaining game. I think Giants aren't as bad as people think. They've stayed in game. I don't think they've gotten blown out this year. They lost 26-15, 17-13. Oh, okay. Never mind. They got blown out by the Niners, but that's another story. And then they lost 17-9 to the Rams and nearly beat the Cowboys. And then they beat Washington last week. So I don't think they're as bad as people, as their record is. But I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. It's already dropped to -4 after opening up to -6. So, I think Philadelphia wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants won, to be honest.
The Eagles always seem to have the Giants number on Thursday night. So, I'm gonna say the Eagles.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Eagles, too. But I'm going to expect a big game for the Eagles defense. I think the Eagles defense is going to shine this week. Defense is actually going to score some points.
I
think
Carson's
not going to have to do too much. I think the Giants and Eagles, whenever they match up, and somehow reason, the Eagles-Giant game is when the Eagles show up and then take over for the rest of the season.
Yeah. That happened when we beat them in 2017.
They show up, they beat them, and then they just take over on there. And I think this is going to be led to it because you got the Eagles this week, and then you got Cowboys following. So,
yep. I think it's going to be like a 17-14 type game. Next game, Detroit and Atlanta. I could see that one, too. Detroit and Atlanta. Ooh, this is going to be an interesting game. Atlanta opens up a 2-point favorite over under 56.5. I'm going to say Atlanta. I think Atlanta has found something. I think they're going on a little roll here. I don't think they're sneaking in the playoffs, but I think they'll go on a little roll here. What do they have? They have the Lions, Panthers, and Broncos. So I think they can go on a little run. I'll take Atlanta.
I'm picking Detroit.
I want to take Atlanta because they finally have a head coach, someone who's coaching the game right. So I'm going with Atlanta.
Baker versus Burrow, too. I'm going to say Burrow takes this one and gets revenge. Cincinnati beats Cleveland.
Yeah, I think Cleveland was really shaken by the Pittsburgh one. I think now we're going to start to see Cleveland play like the team that we thought that they thought or we thought they were going to be.
I think the wheels are starting to fall off.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I figured. Green Bay and Houston.
Thanks.
Oh, sorry, Clint.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I want to agree. I want to take Bengals and win this one as well.
Well, here's an interesting matchup. Green Bay and Houston. I hate to be Houston this week. Aaron Rodgers is going to be
angry. Packers are going to beat the shit out of them. They're going to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. I hate to be Houston.
Yeah.
I'm taking Green Bay in the blowout.
This is not going to be a pretty game to watch if you're a Houston fan.
Nope. Aaron Rodgers is angry. We all know when angry Rodgers is. Carolina and New Orleans. It is always a good matchup when these two teams play.
I
don't think
New
Orleans should be. Yeah. I'm picking New Orleans, too.
Michael Thomas in the lineup.
Oh, Michael Thomas is back.
Yeah, he should
nice.
Be back this week.
I think Carolina keeps it close, but New Orleans wins. We'll start with you, Doug, on this one. Buffalo and the Jets.
Oh, I hope to God the Bills win. But I can see... I don't think the wheels are falling off the Bills just yet, but I am starting to get concerned, especially with that.
I think Buffalo rolls. I think they take their frustrations out on the Jets last week.
I just feel sorry for the Jets. I mean, the Jets are the type of team that when you get beat up the way a team who finally gets beat up, you got to play the Jets the following week. You got a big smile on your face because you know it's going to come when you get the tails whipped. And exactly what's going to happen. I think Buffalo is going to beat the brakes off of them.
look at it like this. And this is not probably a politically correct way to say this. But the Jets are the battered hookers of the NFL. And every team that they play are their disgruntled pimps.
That's a good one.
So I'm pretty sure some woman's organization out there is gonna be trying to find my ass. But
moving on. So we all got the Bills.
Yep.
You think you got the Bills, Tom?
Well, I didn't come up with that analogy so I could pick the Jets.
I know. Your other team, the Dallas and Washington. I got Washington.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Dallas. I'm still gonna stick with the fact that I think Andy Dalton's gonna make something out of this team.
He very well could. This division's unpredictable.
Well, I say this: whoever's gonna win the first team that wins 6 games in this division is gonna win the division. We'll clinch it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Well, I want to go with Washington.
Pittsburgh and Tennessee. You got Washington?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh and Tennessee, we talked about it earlier. I think you guys gave your positions already. You guys.
Yeah, I'm saying Tennessee 16-13.
I got Tennessee, too.
Oh, man. It's a point for me, but I might go with Pittsburgh.
I see a low-scoring game, but very entertaining.
Especially if it's a low-scoring game, I'll definitely go Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Tennessee's actually the underdog. I don't know why they're at home. That's beside the point.
Because the Steelers haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher yet. That's why.
I don't know. Yeah, it's true. I think another good game is Seattle and Arizona, the 4:00 game. I don't know if this is on TV, but no, it's not. Never mind.
Well, it'd be on Red
Bull. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take Arizona in this one. I think they play well against Seattle.
I think Arizona wins.
I think they carry momentum from Monday last night.
I think Russell's going to do Russell things, and my boy DK is going to show why. But DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson is going to be a pair that's going to last a long time in the NFL. I'm telling you right now, Seattle's going to win this.
Hey, you can say the same thing about Murray and Hopkins. I'm not saying Murray's on the same level as Russell, but they have Hopkins and he has DK and DK and Hopkins are almost like the same.
Yeah, but to me, I think Seattle has a better defense.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the underrated game of the week. I don't think anybody's looking at this game. And it stinks it's not on TV besides Red Zone. But Kansas City and Denver. I think Kansas City stomps on the Denver Broncos and wins easily.
Yeah, I'm picking Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Now, since this is the game on the game of the week, right, Doug? San Francisco, New England?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, it is. I don't know why, but it is.
Because it looks
New
good.
England and in San Francisco. San Francisco is the defending champ, defending NFC champion, so. But I'm going to take
San Francisco.
I think they found something last week.
Yeah, I want to go with New England and win this, though.
Oh, that's a game we forgot to talk about. Well, San Francisco and the Rams. Oh, well. Jacksonville and Chargers. I'm thinking the Chargers. Jacksonville's done.
Yeah, Chargers.
My upset of the week. The Raiders beats Tom Brady on national TV, just like he did.
I can't root for the Raiders. I'm picking Tampa.
That's going to be a hard one to pick for me. But tell you too, part of me is saying go with the Raiders, but Tampa Bay, the way how they played this week and that defense is starting to gel together. I won't have to go with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, just betting-wise, I'm betting on Vegas, but because Tampa Bay, that's just a setup traveling cross-country, so just root for a good game. Chicago and L.A. Rams, there should be a good Monday night game, hopefully. I'll take Chicago. I think the Rams got exposed last week. I think the Rams got exposed a little bit last week.
Depends on what golf shows up. Is this going to be a good golf or a bad golf? So far, Khalil Mack has made call this little girl.
And you know Nick Foles loves to beat the Rams. Isn't he like undefeated against the Rams?
He's got good games. But we'll see. Nick Foles shows up when Nick Foles shows up. But it's that defense and Khalil Mack. They always gave the Rams problems. For some strange reason or another.
Real quick before we get out of here, you guys have any thoughts on the Sunday night game that we forgot to mention?
Not really.
I thought San Francisco played well. I was impressed with San Francisco and how they played.
No, not
they
really.
Were a desperate team.
To tell you the truth, I was more disappointed in the Rams gameplay than anything else. I was more disappointed
for some
in the
reason,
Rams.
For some reason, they don't play well against the Rams. They always match up well against each other, LA, the Rams, and 49ers. I know it's a divisional game, but they always match well, LA versus San Francisco. You guys have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No.
Not really.
Well, thank you guys for coming on. We'll see you next week for the Hard Hits podcast.
You need to thank my computer for not having technical difficulties.
Oh, yeah, and the poll winner is, you're going to like this, Doug. Shane Douglas wins by 2 votes.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to recap. I'm going to make sure it is him, but I'm pretty sure it is him.
All right, cool.
So we'll be doing Shane Douglas on Friday night with Stevie. You have Stevie yet?
Not yet, but I will.
Okay. So come join us on Friday night at 8. Are we going at 8 o'clock or 7?
We can talk about it later.
When it's done? Okay. For Doug, for Eric, for myself, and for our cleaners, this is the Hard Hits Podcast. See you next week.
Next week. Later, guys.
Later,
guys. Bye.
Bye.
I don't care about nothing, man. Roll another blunt. Yeah.
I'm taking it next semester.